We get things going this hour by welcoming into the program from 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, our friend Ty Anderson. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty well, thanks. How's your Monday so far?
It's like every Monday, right?
Yes.
It's getting a little bit nicer out, though, so that's always nice.
Exactly. Certainly some good news there with the weather and other things on the horizon, so we'll keep our fingers crossed. When we talk about the Bruins, let's start with Brandon Carlo. Any update on his status?
No update, really. He's going to be out a while, they're saying, which is what you sort of expect, I would say, at this point. This is his third concussion, or we believe it's a concussion. It hasn't been confirmed, but by all indications, it's what it is. His third confirmed concussion in the last 4 years, so pretty scary on that, front, I would say. But no, he's going to be out a while. They're staying week to week. So we're going to have to wait and see how that develops. But it's a big loss for them in a lot of ways. I mean, he does so many things well for them. He really has been their rock on the second pairing all year long. So to lose him for, you know, outside of your normal, he's out 10 days, you know, that's a big blow to this team, really.
Obviously, it was a violent hit. It was intentional. But I wonder if Wilson didn't have the history of disciplinary action, do you think there's any way this would have been viewed differently?
I think definitely. I mean, you're probably talking, you know, two or three games versus the seven that he was handed. I would say that they look at this as a shortened season. Seven games is like 10, right? And his rap sheet is long. It's deserved, in my opinion, the way he plays. Go back and watch that shift. You could see it coming, right? You could see him doing this because it begins at the other end of the ice. He's into it with Trent Frederick. He has a thing with Frederick, as we all know. It played out later that night. But he's hot. You can tell that he's hot. He's got a temper. And, you know, he sees Carlo in a vulnerable spot, and he jumps in and goes up high on him. So, for me, that's all you need right there. You just watch the whole shift that Wilson had, and you see this is a guy crossing a line again. And so I think that's really what the suspension was based off. If you go back and you watch the explanation video, they mentioned that he has a history, and this was taking advantage of a player in a defenseless position. So for me, I mean, you could honestly argue that he deserved more, but really it's the intent and it's the history that played a huge factor in the suspension.
Now, why didn't the officials see it that way at the time?
You know, I've been wondering this now for 3 days. I don't see how you're watching that play unfold. I mean, the puck's right there. You don't have the excuse about what happened behind the play. We didn't see it. No, you should be watching what happened there. And from all angles, from every angle that we've seen on camera, you see Wilson have a chance to go through the body, but almost change course and go up high. And that's what's troubling to me. And this happens quite a bit now. I mean, this happened in 2019, the Stanley Cup final, where Barbashev crushes Johansson behind the play. Not a penalty, but it's a suspension, right? So you want to see these guys get a hold of the game, because if they don't, they tend to go extreme with it, right? So, you know, the second period begins. They don't call that penalty in the first. The second period begins, and there's a slight scrum in front of the net, and it's a penalty. It's like, okay, maybe find the balance between that, but that comes down to game management. These guys, I think, need to have better game management, these officiating crews. And for me, I go back to why don't these guys ever talk, right? There's never a pool reporter here where they answer for why that wasn't a penalty. I think it would help a lot of people, maybe even the refs, honestly, if they had to answer for some of these non-calls every now and then.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. Well, it takes a unique kind of effort to get 40 shots on goal and still get shut out as the Bruins did yesterday.
Oh, that was unbelievable, right? I mean, Scott Wedgwood is now the Vezina Trophy finalist, I would say, after that performance. You know, the last minute and a half alone, I believe he stopped 8 or 9 shots. Just incredible chances, too, from the Bruins late in the game. Thought he had a great effort. I think the Bruins could have made his life a little bit more difficult, though. They did late, but before that, you know, the 58 minutes before that, really not a lot of high quality looks outside of a few from Pastrnak and Bergeron, and that's a problem, right? This team has desperately needed secondary scoring for a long time now, and that well is kind of dry again. So that's a concern, I think, for the Bruins. Really, you look at David Krejci. Still no goals. Jake DeBrusca has one goal on the entire season so far. They need more from some of these guys. Even Craig Smith and Charlie Coyle, he'd be more of a factor offensively. So You're noticing now that this team may be like they were in years past, where they're powered by one line and a power play.
Bruce Cassidy addressed it a little bit. What's going on with Jacob DeBrusque?
Honestly, I'd love to know. I just think that his battle is not really where it needs to be. Not every night, anyways. He's had some good nights, but other nights you're saying, why is he moving at half speed? What's happening? Is he injured? What's going on here? He's just not getting to the high danger areas with the frequency that we're used to, right? And so that's been a problem. It's been a problem now for almost two seasons, really. He just hasn't had that same gear that we were used to seeing back in 2018 and 2019. So what the solution is, I don't know. I don't think you can scratch him, because that's not going to help them. But they need to figure out what their solution is, right? They've tried different lines, different combinations, and still, here we are sitting on one goal, a power play goal, too. So he's kind of running out of rope here, I would say. I think that Cassidy has tried almost every solution he can without disrupting his entire team. So what's next? I do believe in Jake to a degree. I don't think you should trade him, if only because his value is so low right now. But ultimately, they're going to have to figure this out, because he's an important piece, and he is a reason why they didn't make a big move in free agency for a Mike Hoffman or a Taylor Hall, because they had him. They believed in him. So you need to see that belief rewarded at some point.
Who's out there, Ty? Who are some potential targets Bruins might have to make this team a little bit better and maybe address that secondary scoring?
Well, Buffalo is officially open for business, they've said. So that means Taylor Hall, Eric Staal, who's the center but has played the wing in the past. Bruins have had interest in him before when he was at the Minnesota Wild. So that could make sense for them, I think, looking at their lineup. He also played with Charlie Coyle in Minnesota on a line together. So that might be something that they want to explore. Elsewhere, the Nashville Predators are going to be selling. I think that's pretty obvious right now. They have some pieces that are pretty intriguing. On the back end, Matthias Ekholm is the guy, but up front, Philip Forsberg is a right wing who could make sense for the team. They also have some depth pieces maybe that you look at and say, okay, maybe that would be a fit there. Maybe a Victor Arvidsson, even Rocco Grimaldi is a guy who, you know, is not going to wow you per se, but he has speed and energy and things that they could really use in that lineup as well. So I would look at those two teams out of the gate. Obviously, Detroit's going to be sellers as well. Maybe Bobby Ryan is a project for them that they like. But it's going to be a good market for buyers. It's just the price and the contract with the upcoming expansion draft is going to make it really hard to find the perfect fit, I would say.
What do the Bruins need to do tomorrow night to avoid a repeat of the last time they played the Isles?
Oh, they got to score some goals. I think that's the big one. I think you look at this offense right now, and that's been the problem against New Jersey and the Islanders, for that matter, as well. So they got to hope they snap out of this here. I do think that the Islanders have been great at home, right? So how can you counteract what they do well at home? I would say that the Grizzly and McAvoy pairing has been excellent so far together. That's been a pairing that's been really good for the Bruins. Maybe that allows them to sort of keep a guy like Matt Barzal at bay, because you have more speed and more of an attack mentality on your defense. So I think that could be a sort of an evening aspect of their lineup construction come tomorrow night. So, I mean, that's really the big one, though. It's just you got to find a way to slow them down on home ice without that benefit of the last change. And we've seen this, right? Three games now at Nassau Coliseum. The Islanders have been great in all three. So I would look for that pairing and say maybe they set the tone for the Bruins in this one.
Bruins, New York Islanders tomorrow night. Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Ty, appreciate it as always. Thanks for checking in with us, and we'll do it again very soon.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Ty Anderson on Downtown.